Today's daf in Masechet Yoma is daf Samach Tet, and we're holding on the second line. Poshtinu mekaplin umenichin oto tachat roshehen. So, what we have been looking at is the question of whether you are allowed to be nene from the Big Day Kahuna if it isn't in the context of the Aveda. And we wanted to bring a riot from the fact that we found the Mishnah in Tamid that says that it was actually the Kohanim are allowed to utilize their Big Day Kahuna, but they're not allowed, surprisingly, this seems to be the only thing that's important, is they're not allowed to sleep in them. Lo yu yishenim, which is mashma, that we're sort of makpid on using the Big Day Kahuna for sleeping in, but that's because sleeping involves a lot of not particularly covetic activity, and maybe that's why you couldn't wear them. But mashma, for anything else, they actually could. And so maybe you would be allowed to wear them in the mashmautis, and that would be the answer to our question. Well, says the Gemara, actually, there is a raya from the concept that is mentioned over there, in which it does say, apparently, that only sleep is the isser, and everything else you could do. You could walk around in them and so on. Why otherwise mention sleep? So the solution that we came up with is that actually it says not to sleep in them only as in an introduction to the next words. What are the next words? They take off their Big Day Kahuna, fold them up, and put them underneath their head. So therefore, that's the only reason it mentions sleep. But it doesn't mean sleep as opposed to walking. And then the obvious question is, if they're allowed to fold them up and use them as a pillow, then there's your answer, right? So, okay, so then apparently you are allowed to use the Big Day Kahuna. So what in the world was that supposed to mean? Says the Gemara, okay, poshtinu mekaplinu menichin otam tachat roshehem. So in other words, now you're telling me 100% that you're allowed to use Big Day Kahuna as a pillow. So, all right, that means that you don't have to use them in the context of Aveda, right? Amar of Papa, no, it doesn't mean literally that they used it as a pillow. No, Tema, don't believe that the Mishnah means underneath their heads. What it means is that they folded up the Big Day Kahuna and that they put them next to their heads, so that way they would keep them next to them and would be able to put them on right away when they wake up. And that's the Chiddush. Keneged Roshehem. Amar of Misharsha, well, that's interesting because that has implications for Tefillin. Because, I mean, if you're telling me that I'm not concerned for the Big Day Kahuna to be next to your head while you're sleeping, even though you might possibly roll over on them, according to one approach, and be using it as a pillow, or the very fact that you have these biological activities at night that maybe not be so mechubad for your Big Day Kahuna, the fact that they're not on you, just next to you, means there's not a problem. But then that should be true about tefillin as well. So as you take off your tefillin, you put them next to your head, we're not going to be concerned, first of all, maybe going to fall on them and end up sleeping on them. And secondly, we don't consider it to be in any way a degradation of the tefillin that they should be next to you while you're sleeping, as long as they're not literally on you. So that is a practical application today of this halacha. So shema mina tefillin mina tzad shapir dami. Okay. That was a parenthetical comment. Now, the question is, Rav Papa takes the Mishnah out of context a little bit. No, I mean, the Mishnah says, beferish, menichin tachat roshehem. You put it underneath their heads. And he's claiming that doesn't mean underneath the heads, it means next to the heads. I mean, is there any real basis for that? Yes, says the Gemara. In fact, Omar Rav, Halkinami Mistavra, it is, in fact, very reasonable that it does not mean under their heads, it means opposite their heads. Because consider for a moment, would there be any heter of, forget about the issue whether you're allowed to use the Big Day Kahuna, okay? Let's pretend you're allowed to use Big Day Kahuna. Would you be allowed to put them under your head? No. Why? Well, because there's shatnez in the avnate of the Big Day Kahuna. So you're not allowed to be Nina from Shatnez. I mean, forget about the question of the Big Day Kahuna. Let's say all along we were talking about, can you wear the other Big Day Kahuna, the ones that don't have Shatnez, without the Avni. But I mean, over here it's talking about taking the Big Day Kahuna that you're going to be able to put on the next morning. You're going to put it under your head. So that, in other words, you're going to have the avnate under your head, but then you're being nene from kilayim. So it must mean that it's not literally under your head, because these are kedavach tachat roshayim, so then there should be an iser bishum kilayim, because you do have an avnate. And, I mean, even if it was mutter to use the Big Day Kahuna in terms of deriving some kind of benefit from them, so nihi nami d'nitnula not behem, but bottom line is, he is ending up being nene from kilayim, and you're not allowed to be nene from kilayim. So anyway, it can't possibly mean that you would be sleeping directly on them, using them as a pillow. Well, now, wait a minute. That's not necessarily so. I mean, using this as a justification of Rav Papa saying that the Mishnah is not talking about the issue of being nene from the Big Day Kahuna, Mishnah doesn't mean it's going to be literally under your head, even though it says so. But it couldn't mean that, because after all, it would be nene from kilayim, and you're saying that's the justification for Rav Papa's utilization of that Mishnah in this way. Well, I mean, that really does depend on whether the Big Day Kahuna were made out of kilayim or not, right? I mean, that was a big argument. We had this machlokas earlier. Remember when we talked about Vini Chum Sham, about with Rabbi Dosa, whether they're kosher for a Kohen Head Yod during the rest of the year, or the Big Day Kahuna of a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, which are made entirely out of linen. Do they satisfy the requirements of a normal Kohen Head Yod during the course of the year or not? The question revolves around the issue of whether the normal Big Day Kahuna have kilayim. On Yom Kippur, there was no kilayim. And if you're going to say that a regular Kohen could simply put on the Big Day Lovan of a Kohen Gadol and do Avodah, it would mean that what? That the Big Day Kohen Head Yod do not have kilayim, which would mean that the issue that we weren't sure about, which is, do we learn out the nature of the Avnate of a Kohen Head Yod from the nature of the Avnate of the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol's Shmoneh Begadim Avnate, his non-Yom Kippur Avnate, definitely had kilayim. It says so. But the Torah never said beferish whether that avnate was the model for the avnate of the Kohen Head Yod. That was a machlokas we had earlier. So if you're going to tell me that the Kohen Gadol's begadim on Yom Kippur were suitable for a normal Kohen Head Yod, so then there were no kilayim. So there was nothing to worry about, right? So if you're going to tell me anichal amad yom avnato shel Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is the equivalent of avnato shel Kohen Head Yod, and then that would mean that there was no kilayim issue. Okay, so if there was no kilayim issue, so then it would mean that it's revolving around the simple question of whether you're allowed to use the Big Day Kahuna to be nene. But if you're going to tell me that Avnato shel Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is not the normal avnate that a normal kohen wears all year round, because he does have kilayim. Okay, so then it would anyway be usher to sleep on the Big Day Kahuna, and therefore it would be a bit silly to try to bring this as a raya to the issue of whether you could be nene from the Big Day Kahuna, because it doesn't mean that you put it underneath your head, okay? It can't mean it, because then you'd be nene from kilayim. Now, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me that, look, if you're wearing kilayim as a pillow, then you're not wearing kilayim. I mean, you're not wearing it. It's under your head. So you'll try to tell me, look, the Torah says, lo tilbash, satanis. Lo tilbash means don't wear it. Well, I'm not wearing it. It's under my head, right? But actually, kilayim is mutter. You can spread it underneath you. So if it's a pillow, you can use it as a pillow. But that's not true. Because the Braita says, look, we have two different psukim about kilayim. It's true that one pasuk about kilayim says that lo tilbash shatnez, tzermel pishtim yachdov. True. But how about the one that says, beget kilayim shatnez, lo yale alecha? Lo yale alecha means even if you're not wearing it. So that would mean, the pashtus means that it's only if it's on you, though, right? Not if it's under you. and we darshan from that, you are actually allowed to put it under you, but the Chachamim aser to put it under you, because they're worried, maybe shematicharech nimach ata bisaro, maybe you'll get a little bit of a thread on your finger or something, and then you're going to end up being nene from kilayim, which would be begetter levisha. So, okay, so then that would mean that we're back to where we started from. That Mishnah cannot mean that they put the big dekuna under their heads, if you hold that they were kilayim, and we'd like the Mishnah to work out according to everybody, whether you hold that big dekuna and gedola on Yom Kippur are the same or not. So therefore, I mean, it's much more likely that that Mishnah is saying that you can't put it next to your head, rather you could put it only next to your head, not that you could put it under your head, because then what would you do about the kilayim issue, according to the Man D'Omer who says that it was kilayim, and take into consideration the Isser D'Rabbanan of actually having kilayim even under you as a pillow. So then we wouldn't be able to bring that Mishnah as any kind of raya to our sugya. Now, you still have a way out of this, because you could say, look, the only beged that had kilayim was the avne, if any beged had kilayim. But let's assume one of the beged has kilayim. Which beged? Only the avne. The other begadim, it says b'feirish about the kohen hedyot, that they're made out of sheish, b'feirish. So they were not made out of kilayim. So why do you have to put the avnate directly under your head, cover the avnate with the other begadim, okay, and then you're not going to be lying on the kilayim. So then you don't even have the issur d'rabbanan that you're saying would have been a problem. So v'chitim in a mafsik lamidi beni beni, you should put something in between it, use one of the other begadim, don't lie on the kilayim, and then we would be able to read the Mishnah as saying that they actually slept on the big dekuna under their heads. And then it would be a very good diak that you are allowed to be nene from the big dekuna. No, still not, because look, Omer Reb Shimon ben Pazi, Omer Reb Yeshua ben Levi, Omer Rebbe, and this was all said b'shem the Kehila Kadisha Sheb Yerushalayim. So this was said as something that was a Kabbalah in Yerushalayim, that afilu eser matzaot zogah bizu, even if you've got 10 different blankets, you know, one on top of the other, the bottom one is kilayim. It would still be awesome in Rabbanah. So asher lishan aleihem. So that's not going to help you to use the other begadim to cover up the avnate or to put a pillowcase on the big dekuna. So that's not the meaning of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says you put it underneath your head, and that they can't mean literally underneath your head. So it's got to mean keneged rosh ha'am. So therefore we don't have a raya from there, because we are not talking about actually sleeping on it. We're only talking about it's not a problem to leave it near your head, right? Ravashi says, no, I don't see why that has to be the case. I could learn that the Mishnah means exactly what it says. It says that they folded up the big dekuna and they put it directly under their heads, and that would show conclusively you are allowed to be nene from big dekuna. You're not allowed to sleep in them because it's not b'kavod, but you're allowed to use other things, right? Now, I know you're going to say, we just showed you, it can't mean that, because you're going to be nenek from kilayim. That's your question. Not true. I can explain that away. You will not be nenek from kilayim, because the big day kahuna are so thick. Remember that the threads were like 24 threads thick, because you needed to have kofel shesh of all of the different minim, right? Each one of them was kofel shesh. So there are 24 threads that are in each one of the threads. So that means that the spinning of those threads was like, oh my God, this is like thick stuff. The din is that threads that are that thick are not considered to be the levisha aspect of kilayim. They simply don't allow your skin to be close enough to the material to be warmed by it the way that a beged is. Because kihadi amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yehoshua, when you've got this felt that's very stiff, you're allowed to wear it even if it's kilayim. Now, they used to make this stuff in the Tana Narish, and it was like this hard felt. And they ended up opening up a hat factory called Borsellino or something. But anyway, that kind of felt is okay, even though it's made out of kilayim, because it's not a beged. It's like cardboard. You don't wear cardboard. So the same thing was true of the big day kahuna. That's what I think. So if that's the case, then the Mishnah would mean exactly what it's saying. They were allowed to put it under their head. And if I'm right, then it would also mean that you are allowed to be nene from the big day kahuna. Okay, so we don't have 100%. We're not sure how to read that Mishnah. So let's take a look from a braisa. Tashma, is there absolute proof about this question? Are big day kahuna okay to be nene from? Shelo b'shat avoda. There actually is a beferish braita about this. Big day kahuna hayotzei behem lebedina asur. Now here it says in the braita, you cannot wear your big day kahuna in order to go out to hear a concert in Tel Aviv. Okay, fine, because then you're treating them in a way that's just big day chol. But b'migdash, doesn't matter whether you're doing avod or not. Bein b'sha'at avoda, bein shelo b'sha'at avoda, you're always allowed to continue wearing your big day kahuna. So what do you see from there? Mipnei sheb ferish. Mipnei sheb big day kahuna nitnu le'anot b'am. Shema mina. This is incontrovertible proof. I mean, obviously, the Braita is saying beferish. You are allowed to be nene in a personal way from your big day kahuna. It doesn't mean you're allowed to put them on for that purpose. As Tosis points out, you put them on to do avodah. But the question is, once you're wearing them, we start off with lo nitna Torah l'malachei ha'sharet. Obviously, you can't be over on an Isser if it takes you 1 second longer. Take off your big day kahuna, that is physically possible. But because of that, it's actually a heter, which was what we raised in the first place, to use them at all times, except we don't want you to do completely chulin issues with it. Doesn't mean it's sesame in your eyes. You go to concert also. The Rabbanan answered it. Okay. Now, you're saying you can't go to a concert? You can't just wear them wherever you want? And how do you explain the following braisa? V'hatanya, we've got a braisa that actually makes it clear that you can. And that's a fascinating story. That's the story about the holiday of the 25th of Teves. And of course, this is one of the holidays that was in the Megillat Ta'anit. So unfortunately, we no longer have these holidays other than Purim V'Chanukah. But on the 25th day of Teves, that was the holiday of Yom Har Gerizim. What happened on that day? On Yom Har Gerizim, remember Har Gerizim was the place where the Kutim ended up settling down, and it's there till today that they have this religion of theirs, and that's the center of their religion on Har Gerizim, where ultimately they found an Avodah Zorah that was there that had been buried by Yaakov Avinu, as Tosfos points out, and that was the Avodah Zorah that Yaakov Avinu told everybody, Hey Siru et Elohei HaNechar. That was when he was running away from Shechem. That was there on Har Gerizim, and that ended up being the center of their religion. Anyway, that entire issue, their whole center was destroyed. And that became a holiday for us, as we'll explain why, in which it's also to give hespedim, because that's the holiday, the Isser of Hesped. What was the story? Well, it started off as a day where these Kutim had a whole plan to see to it that Alexander would destroy the Beit HaMikdash. So what they did was they brought all of these intelligence estimates and made it look like very well-based, that the Jews utilized the Beit HaMikdash for planning rebellions, and this is what keeps them going, and as long as that Beit HaMikdash is around, you're never going to be able to subjugate the Jews. They're going to end up rebelling against Greece. So they told him this, and he agreed. He agreed, and they found out about it. Shimon HaTzadik, these were during the years of Shimon HaTzadik, when he was the Kohen Gadol, and so he decided to deal with this issue. And what did he do? He put on his big day kahuna, he wraps his head with his big day kahuna, and he brings along like some of the most choshever people. So he takes Yekirei Yisrael Limo, and all night long, they walk carrying these torches. And they walk side by side on the mountain, which was across a valley where Alexander was walking through the night with his soldiers, and he had these kutim. And they were talking with him the whole night about how it is that we're going to go destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and they were working out the plans for the attack and so on. And they see all night long that there's like these people that are walking, holding these torches. They couldn't figure out what the heck is going on. Who would that be? So they were really getting fascinated by what's going on. Is this some kind of army? The people are going to be attacked. Anyway, call Alayla. So all night long, they had Shimon HaTzadik's group, which they couldn't make out the people. They only saw the torches. And they had the other group that was walking with Alexander on the other side until Amud HaShachar. Now, once it was Amud HaShachar, then Alexander sees, like, there's a whole group of people there. So he asks the Kusim, who in the world is that? So the Kusim say, that's who we were talking about. You see, they were following you all night. This is all part of the plans of rebellion. That's exactly those Jews. Shamar Dubacha, these are the ones that are rebelling against you. Anyway, they finally come to Antipatris. At that point, it was already broad daylight. And now he can make out who it is. And the moment that he sees Shimon HaTzadik, he jumps down off of his fancy chariot, Yorad Mimerkavto, and he, Alexander, bows down to Shimon HaTzadik. My God, I mean, this is like an absolute shock. So all of the soldiers and the people, the representatives, they say to him, what's with you, man? Melech gadol kamotcha, and understand we're supposed to practice tolerance for religions. I mean, this is ridiculous. You're going to bow down to this priest. I mean, what are you doing? Melech gadol kamotcha, you're supposed to hold yourself higher than all these people. You're going to bow down to some rotten Jew. Like you did, eh? Marlon, you don't understand. Every time I go to war, I have this vision of this superhero that is going in front of me, who's actually destroying all the armies. He looks exactly like this guy. I mean, this is crazy. Every single time I go to war, it's this guy that's always there. And he's the one that is like this miraculous angel that cuts down my enemies. So, of course, I bow down to him. So he turns to them and he says to them, so why have you come? So they said, because we are mystified. There's the one place in the world where the only thing that they're concerned about is seeing to it that you are successful. So what we do in our Beis HaMikdash is we pray for you, we bring sacrifices for you, and that your kingdom should never be destroyed, you should win your wars. That's what you want to destroy? These idiot avdei kochavim, they're going to persuade you that you should destroy it? These are the guys that want you to fail, don't you understand? Who are you talking about? These kutim over here. Kutim alalo shomdim lefanecha. Amar lem, so he says to the Jews, do whatever you want to them. Harei misurim bidechem. So they made a hole right through their heels. The kavum biikveyem. They took ropes and they tied them through the bones of their feet. They tied them to the tails of their horses, and they took them for a little ride all the way to Har Gerizim. So they're dragging them over the stones and the thorns and the thistles and until they got all the way to Har Gerizim, which is where they have their Migdash. Kivan Shigil Har Gerizim. They plowed it under, exactly the way these guys wanted to do to the Beis HaMikdash. They plowed it under, and then they planted it with animal feet. And Kederek Shepik Shula Soto Beit HaLokeinu, that's what they wanted to do to the Beis HaMikdash. V'yoto Hayom Asu Yom Tov. And so that day became a Yom Tov in the Megillat Ta'anit, and that's why it's Osir to say Hespedim on Yom Har Gerizim. So, but anyway, I mean, why are we bringing the whole story? Because you see that Shimon HaTzadik put on his big day kahuna, and it was outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So obviously, must have been mutter. Oh, come on, I mean, what does that prove? First of all, when it says he put on big day kahuna, it doesn't mean that he necessarily, that he put on literally the big day kahuna that he wore in the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, it could be that this was like it was the one that they used in the movies. You know, when they had to portray Shimon HaTzadik, obviously they had Big Day Kuna for the movies, right? So he just put on the Big Day Kuna that they could have been Big Day Kuna, but they were never given to the Beis HaMikdash to be Kodesh. So that just means they were ruining the big tikkun. Or, and if they were the real big tikkunas, I understand. You don't think that this is a geopolitical emergency, that they have to go out and he had to save the Beis HaMikdash. And maybe he put them on, not because it was mutter. Maybe it was like the Sorasha, Iboisema, Eit Lasot Lashem, Eferu Toratecha, that you're allowed to be made for the Torah, for Tzrochim, that it's time to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Saving the Beis HaMikdash is an Eit Lasot Lashem. Okay. So now we can move on to the next piece of the Mishnah. Next piece of the Mishnah says that the Chazan HaKnesset, he's basically the Shamish, he takes it and he hands it to the Gabbai, who's called the Rosh HaKnesset, he hands it to the Skan hands it to the Kohen Gadol. Why are we giving kavod to all of this? Is like, you know, this is like Kvater, and then we start giving, okay, you know, Cheka Rishayna, Cheka, come on, man, let's get on with the, so this is like, I understand what we need to give out kibudim. I mean, if you're telling me we need to give out kibudim, so then that shows, as we have a very important halacha, that's no gay other question of whether you're supposed to give out kibudim. If the Rav is present, do you give kibudim to the Talmidim? That's a shayla, because then you're being mechabed the Talmud in front of the Rav. Maybe that's considered to be a pigi and the kvod harav. And over here, we're doing all of this in front of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is considered to be the absolute rav over here, right? So we're going to do this in front of Shimon HaTzadik. We're going to give like the Gabbai, and we're going to give the Shamish. We're going to give them kavod. Does that make sense? So Shmamina, unless you're telling me that that's the halacha. Cholkim kavod the Talmud, the Talmid b'makom harav. Rabbi, it doesn't prove anything. Because over here, obviously, we're not in it in order to give kavod for kibudim. We're trying to show the chashivas of the Kohen Gadol. So if each step is like one level of chashivas underneath the Kohen Gadol, we could say, well, look, you know, we start with this, then we go up to that, and we go up to that, till we finally get to the Kohen Gadol. I mean, that brings the chashivas of the Kohen Gadol home with a lot of power, right? So that's the point. It's not to give them kibudim. It's all done mishum kvodo de kohen gadol. It's actually an expression of the great kavod of the kohen. So that's not called notnim kavod l'talmid b'mokom harav. That's part of the kavod of the rav. Okay, next thing we said in the Mishnah. The kohen gadol, when they give him the Sefer Torah, stands up. What do you mean he stands up? I mean, he wasn't allowed to sit down. He must have been standing up the whole time. You're not allowed to sit down in the Beis HaMikdash. So Michlash or Yoshev, what are you saying? That until the point that the Sefer Torah was brought, that he was sitting down? But that's not true. Because actually, Va'amar, according to the Maseres HaShas, because we don't actually have a Mishnah. Okay, I mean, there is a Braisa like this, so I don't know what the big deal is. But okay, but Hanantzan or Va'itmar or Va'tanya, anyway, so what it does say is Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara. It's actually osur to sit in the Azara unless the person that is sitting is a melech, not just a melech, but he has to be a melech from Beis David. So it's Dafka to Malche Beis David Bilvad. And when we say Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara, the point is that we never find, it doesn't mean Ein Yeshiva Asur. But what the Mimer or the Bryce is pointing out is, as Rashi explains it, we do not find Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara, any time that someone is in the Azara, it always uses the word Amida, like La'amod L'sharet, Ha'omdim L'fnei Hashem, constantly. How come it never mentions anybody ever sitting? There's only one point in the entire Tanakh that it says that somebody is sitting, because it says that David HaMelech went v'yashav lifnei Hashem, and he sat down after Natan HaNavi had told him this whole thing that he was going to be zeich in the Keser Malchus and everything. He sits down to speak to HaKadosh Baruch. That's the only time. So from there we can extrapolate that the reason it was the only time is because Ein Hachinami, you're not supposed to be doing this. The only one that sits down is David HaMelech, the shas that he was given the Keter Malchus, which means that only when that Keter Malchus is active, he sits down. So then it's Dafka, Malchei Beis David. There it says, Vayavo HaMelech David, Vayeshev Lufnei Hashem. So Ein Hachinami, at that point it says, he said them. So how do you explain the fact that the Kohen Gadol, it says in the Mishnah, would only stand up when he brought was brought to the Sefer Torah? He had to have been standing the whole time. Now, Rav Chisda, you're going to see in a minute, Rav Chisda answers a similar question by saying, you guys are getting mixed up. The word Azara does not mean the Azara that has the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. It means the Ezra's Nashim. The Ezra's Nashim was just the same Kedusha as the Harabayit. It just had a mechitza around it. I mean, yes, we make Midrabanan certain levels that are different, but in reality, it's just the Harabayit. So that's what it's talking about. Be'ezrat Nashim. Remember, the decree of the Sefer Torah wasn't in the Azara, and there's no Isser of sitting in the Ezra's Nashim. So here too, let's say, I'll tell you in a minute where Rav Chisda said his answer, but over here too, we're talking about Achanami, Be'ezrat Nashim. Okay, you want to tell me now? Where did he say that? You said the way he said it. Where exactly did he say this? I remember that. Hechid Madar Rav Chisda. He said it on this other thing. Aha Meitve. We had a different question on the Mishnah, not what we just asked about, why does they stand up? This was the other question, because since it says, Hechon Korimbo, so in the Brite that says Beferish, where did they used to do the Kriya from the Sefer Torah? Ba'azara. They used to do it in the Azara. Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov says, no, they did it in the Har Habayit. Why do I say that? Because we know that it actually describes the reading of the Sefer Torah in Nehemiah, and it says that Ezra Kohen took the Sefer Torah and he read it where? Lifnei Arachov Asher Lifnei Sha'ar Hamayim. So then that must be that it was in the part that was standing outside of the Sha'ar HaMayim, which was the gate into the Azara, in which case they must have been in the Har HaBayit. And if Ezra did it this way, so it's reasonable. I mean, that the Kohen Gadol was not going to be different than Ezra. And because of that, it was must be that every Yom Kippur, that's where they read it. So you see that it's in, according to the Tanna Kamma, it's in the Azara. And if that's the case, then our Mishnah, which says that the Kohen Gadol was sitting, means he was sitting in the Azara. So then we're back to our question. And it was there that Rav Chisda answered, no, it means it was in the Ezra's Nashim, which is what he was obviously saying about our Mishnah as well, that the sitting that the Tanna Kamma says, Hechel Kohen Bazara, means in the Ezra's Nashim, which has the same Kedusha as the Har HaBayit, except the Tanna Kamma understands the Pasuk that they would read it Kineged the Sha'ar HaMayim, where Ezra read. Whereas Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov was saying, no, they must have read it in the same place, which was outside. That's the only question. But nobody holds that they read it in the Mokum where you're not allowed to sit. Okay, anyway, once we mention this whole story of the very special Ma'amad, where they took out the Sefer Torah in the Chodesh HaShvi'i, and they read it, and it says all kinds of things there, which are like once in Tanakh descriptions about a once in a historic event, which is the coming of Ezra into the Beis HaMikdash and everything that they did that year. So let's just take a look at it, because there's a lot of things that we can learn from it that has to do with things that we've learned about the Aveda, the way that we speak in the Beis HaMikdash with the brachas and so on. So it says over there that Ezra gave a bracha, Vayivorech Ezra Hashem Elokim HaGadol. That's in the, what do you mean, Elokim HaGadol? I mean, is that the way we usually say at Hashem? So what does it mean when he adds HaGadol? Omer of Yosef Omer Rav, it means that Ezra utilized the Shem HaMefurash in giving this bracha. So it's very similar to the Inyanim that we find over here in Yom Kippur, but going good. Rav Gidol, who wants to say, what is Gadol? So Rav Gidol says, that no, this was the moment that they changed the din of a bracha in the Beis HaMikdash from, so we know that there's a difference in how to say Amen. Do you just say Amen or Ein Onim Amen B'Mikdash, and instead you say the Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Olam Min Olam and so on and so forth. Rav Gidol says the change over here was in how you make the bracha. So instead of saying, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, what you would say is that Baruch atah Hashem Elokei Yisrael Min HaOlam V'Ad HaOlam, that special halacha, that was actually the takona of that day, and that's why we called it Gadol. That was the point. Okay? Amalei Abayler of Dimi. I mean, like, why exactly does he say it this way? I mean, couldn't it mean the Poshita meaning that it's the same way that we use on Yom Kippur? That it means Gidlei B'Shem Ha'amid Farash, the way Rav said it? No. He said, of course it can't mean that. Because Ein Omrim Shem HaMefurash Begvulim. Did you or did you not just say that the place where they were doing the Kriya was in either, it was in the actual Harabayit or it was in the Azorah, which had the Kiddush of the Harabayit. Well, the halacha is you are not allowed to say the Shem HaMefurash outside of the actual Beis HaMikdash of the Kiddusha of Machane Shechina. And therefore the Gvulin, in this case, sometimes we use gvulin to mean outside, but here we're using it, gvulin, outside of the place where you have the right to mention the Shema Mefurash. So Ezra would never have said the Shema Mefurash there, and therefore it's got to mean that he changed the nusach of the bracha. We don't? We don't say the Shema Mefurash? V'lo, v'ktiv v'yamod Ezra Sofer al migdal etz asher asula davar. In the Pasuk itself, it says that he stood on a Migdal Eitz that was made Lidavar. Now, this now becomes the beginning of the whole thing that we're going to be doing. It says over there, Vayizaku bekol gadol Hashem Elokeim, and v'yata Eloheinu Ela gadol agibor vanora. Something was going on over there. They're being mispalled for something. We don't understand what it is that they're asking for. It's this big anomaly of some enormous event in which we're being told about this tefillah, and it says over there that it was al-ma'alei ha-leviim, and what would that mean? So the idea over here would be that it was osa a migdal eitz for la-davar, even though this was outside, and what it's referring to, this was that the whole tshuva, the enormous tshuva meeting, that Ezra had called everybody together and he told them that they're going to have to all get rid of the wives that they had married who were all non-Jewish women. And that was when we have this entire discussion. So it says over there, Vayimru kol gadol. So they say in a kol gadol. So what does that mean? It means Vayizaku bekol gadol. So we're making this a connection to a davar. And what was that? Asher asula davar. That was the speaking out the actual Shema B'Furash. Shigid lo b'Shema M'Furash. So then that means that they did say it outside. So what are you telling me? Wouldn't have said the Shema M'Furash outside? If in that same parsha, it says in the Pasuk that basically they did do something very unusual. You're right, they did. But he never would have made that the norm because it was a Hora'at Sha'ah. Remember, this was like the emergency meeting in which the whole Klal Yisrael that had been in Eretz Yisrael, every last person had to come. And anybody who didn't come, remember, they took everything he owned and they confiscated it. So everybody was there. The entire Kehillah was there. And this was the time that they were insisting that if we're going to be building the Beis HaMikdash, changes have to be made. And you guys have to be ready to make those changes. So this was a very special thing. It was a one-time thing in history. And because of it, we now come to understand the other major change. The other major change was that it says, Vayizaku b'kol gadol el Hashem Elokeim, and it never says what it is that they said. So what was it that they were davening for? My amur. Omar Ravi Temer Rabbi Yochanan, what they said was, oy vey, baya, baya. Oh my God, it's hopeless. There's no way that we are going to be able to build this Beis HaMikdash. Because we come back and we find the situation is just as bad as when we left. So this is ridiculous. We went into Golas for 70 years. So what are we going to do? We're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash in order for it to be destroyed. Oh, what's the point? Everything is exactly the same. It's the same idiotic type of behaviors, the same Aveda Zara, the same connection to the Goyim. I mean, and nothing has made any difference. So Hainu Hai the Akravel Mikdash, the same damn Lashon Yetzer Hara that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, burnt down the Heichal, killed all of the tzaddikim, threw us out from Eretz Yisrael, and it's still sitting here dancing like nothing happened. Ha ha ha. And we're going to come back. We're going to build the Beis HaMikdash for what? So we're not going to go on like this. Look, let's be honest. What do we need this thing for? The only reason you gave us this Yetzer Hara is because you want us to be able to fight our way through life and therefore be able to be zeichet to something in Olam Haba. You know what? Forget the Olam Haba and forget the Yetzer Hara. We're going to ready to do without it. It's ridiculous. The only reason you gave it to us was a favor for us. Meichel the favors. Take away the Yetzer Hara and we'll give up on the Olam Haba that we would have had for subduing the Yetzer Hara. So, lo iu b'inan v'lo agra b'inan. So they get this, all of a sudden this paper falls down with a stamp on it that says, damn right, MS. Okay, so they realize, all right, so it's been given to them. Meanwhile, we find out that this, it must be, says, oh, Amar of Chanina, you see from here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's stemple, the stamper of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the word MS, because obviously that's what this was. This was the stamp, min HaShemayim, that it's true. So that must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's stamp. Okay, so then that meant that now it was up to them to figure out, all right, how do we get rid of the Yetzer Hara? Okay, fine. The first thing to do to get rid of the Yetzer Hara is we have to figure out where he lives. I mean, it doesn't exactly show up on Google. So where are we going to find him? So Esiva B'tanisa Tlas Yumin V'tlasa L'vasa. So for 3 days and three nights, they sit in the Tainas. And of course, it's pretty easy to figure out where the Yetzer Hara lives. The Yetzer Hara. Where would the Eitz Hara for Avodah Zarah live? There's only one place it can live, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because obviously, where are you going to get Kayach to be Avodah Hashem, if not from the Eitz Hara? So, fine. So, they, sure enough, they find out that's where he is. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Eitz Hara over into their hands. Misarua Niale, Nafak, so he comes out, and he looks like an Aguria Denura. This is, he looks like Ari over here. The lion cub, and he's made out of pure fire, and he walks out and says the Navi who was there. So this is Zechariah said, Zotar Shah, this is him, Zotar Shah. This is rotten, evil Yetzer Hara. So they grab it. Okay. As they grab it, they pulled out one hair from the lion's mane. Oh my God. Ramakala, the roar that this little tiny lion roared, it went out 400 parsos away. Okay, so then they said, oh my God, what are we going to do? This is the, covered the entire Eretz Yisrael, right? So what should we do? Echi Navi. So they came to the Navi, Zechariah, and they said, so what should we do? I mean, if it's going to make this kind of fuss, you know, it may attract HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attention. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like, all in favor of kindness to Yetzer Haras and to lion cubs, and maybe Hashem will end up having rachamim on the Yetzer Hara. So the Navi said, you know what? Shadyu abaduta da'avra v'chafyu l'pumbi be'avra. Look, there's only one thing to do. You got to stop all of this radiation, all of this noise, cover it with lead. So you have to have this solid lead container, throw it into a lead container, and slam down a lead covering over the top, and that should stop all of this. So then it'll absorb all of the sound and all the radiation, it'll be good. Okay, so the Avra Mishav Shoyev Kala, lead is very good as an insulator here, and it'll absorb all the sound. Shenemar Vayomer Zotar Shah, this is the one, and immediately afterwards it says, Vayashlecho Tael Tocha Efa. So they threw it into this giant container, and then it says they put lead by a shlechet even oferet alpia, that they covered the top of it with this big lead covering. So obviously the whole thing was made out of lead. This is all the remez from Zechariah. So, okay, so now they realize that they've been able to entrap the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. So they said, aha, well, apparently God is finally on our side. We still seem to have some problem with sex. Maybe we get rid of the Yetzer Hara for that too. So once already we're getting, I mean, it's both Nus HaShratam Zonim HaKareyem. So, Ove Eitra Tzonu, Shitzakarash Baruch Hu, so happy with us now maybe we could be mispalel Yiboy Rach Me Yitzra Davira. Now let's ask for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us the Yetzer Hara for sex. So they daven, Bo Rachme. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, fine, Imsar Biyadayu. But the Yetzer Hara said to them before they laid their hands on him, oh, just hold on, buddy. You can play games with the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. I'd advise you to be very careful playing games with me, because if you do anything to me, that's going to be the end of your world, because there will no longer be any reproduction. You need me, baby. You need me. So they said, So they said, okay, maybe he's right, you know. So they decided they're gonna make a test, right? So they put it chaveshuat lasayume. So they decided, okay, we'll just put it into prison, and we'll see what happens. Sure enough, they go around at the end of this time. They try to find a fresh egg in the entire country. They can't find a single fresh egg because, like, the whole process of reproduction has come to a grinding halt. And they realize, oh, my gosh, so what are we going to do? So what do we do now? Amrei, Hechi Navi, Naktalei. If we kill it, it's going to be the end of the world. Kal Ya'am. Niboy Rachmi Apalga. What we could do is we could ask Hashem, just take away the bad parts, you know. Give us the good parts, you take the bad parts. It doesn't work, because Pal Gebra Ki Elo Yave. They never do things by half. In the Shemaim, you don't want the Yetzer, no Yetzer. You do need the Yetzer, there is the Yetzer. There is no way for there to be a Yetzer that is only good. Sorry. Okay. So there's nothing in that. So they decided that they will injure it. So Kachlina Leene. So they put this coal in the eyes, and that ended up destroying its eyesight. Now that, at least nowadays, we don't have that much incest, so that we don't have people that are running around jumping on their mothers, jumping on their sisters. At least that we don't have. So ahani de lo megari bilinish bekrevose. So at least it doesn't go directly to your closest relatives, but there's still plenty of yitzhar farayas around to keep people busy. Anyway, b'marav abas nuhachi. Now, the question of Godol and what Godol means in Eretz Yisrael, they said it like this, that it was Rav Gidol who over here argues on this approach. It was actually Rav Gidol who says that it was the Shem HaMefurash, and that Godol means Gidlo B'Shem HaMefurash. And in Eretz Yisrael, they say that Rav Masna said the reason that Godol is so important over here is because they restored the way that they refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Ha'el HaGadol HaGibor VeHaNora. And this had been a gradual, over as we're going to trace it, had been a gradual reduction in the chashivas of the Shem Hashem, because they had cut out the words from HaGadol HaGibor VeHaNora. And here's what happened. That other of Masna, basically what Rav Masna is saying, is going in the direction of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, why do we find that the Chachamim at that point, this was at that same moment, right, where the Anshei Knesset HaGdela was at this point. So, Lomini Krishman Anshei Knesset HaGdela. Why were they called HaGdola? Because they brought back the Chashivas to the Shem Hashem HaGadol. And the Yechziru Atara LeYoshna, they restored the original Chashivas to the Shem Hashem. What does that mean? Look, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ha'el HaGadol HaGibor VeHaNora, right? Asher lo yikach shochad, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, you'd think that he's defining how we should refer to the Shem Hashem. And yet, it's crazy that then we find Yirmiyo comes along and he says, what kind, I understand, how can you go along and say that this is HaKel HaGadol HaGibor VeHaNora, Nochrim Rak Mikarkarim BeHechalo, you've got these disgusting goyim that are sitting around, doing whatever they want in the Hechal. And this you're calling Noraotav? I mean, if there would be real Noraut, so then how in the world would we have goyim just doing whatever they want, watching TV in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? You tell me that? So obviously there's no innate awe that you can see in the Shem Hashem. So he cut out the word, unbelievable, he cut out the word Norah. Can you imagine? So Yirmiyahu says, Mishalem avon avot el chek b'deyem achreim ha'el hagadol hagibor Hashem tzvakot. What a chutzpah. So he actually cut out HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. No, he's not Nora. I'm not going to call him Nora if he isn't. Comes on Daniel. Daniel says, only Nora you should cut out. But Gibor he is. He's not a Gibor either. Nochrim mishtabdim bebanav. Here we are 70 years. We've got the Goyim who do whatever they want with the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a Gevura. Where is this Gevura? Why doesn't he do anything? So he cuts out, and he doesn't say Gibor, incredibly. So he says, all it says is Hashem HaKel HaGadol, and he leaves out Gibor. Shomer HaBris V'Chesed. That's unbelievable. Came along the Anshei Knesset HaGdela, and they said that's not a good reason to leave out Gibor and Nora. Because on the contrary, and this, of course, is part of the whole Tikkun of Purim, that the Hester is actually the greatest Gili. So Adarabba, Zoe Gvura Gvurato, this is the greatest Gvura imaginable. Can you imagine what kind of Gvura it takes to be Kovesh at Yitzhak Kadosh Baruch Hu is going nuts to kill these people? But I'm not going to do it because this is what needs to be done. This is what needs to be done. And so he's sitting there, Kivayachol, biting his fingers not to do anything to them. That is unbelievable Gvura, right? So Kovesh et Yitzro, Shenotein Erech HaPaim L'Rishoyim, to have patience for this. And you don't think that the biggest expression of the Nora'ot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the very fact that the Goyim came in there and all of them can do whatever they want to do, get away with murder, and for some reason we survive. How do you explain the fact that we survive? It shouldn't be possible. So then that means that programmed into the Bria is the most incredible awesomeness in which it's not possible for the Jews to disappear. Because Imali Maraosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do you explain the fact that Uma Achat Yicholah Leitkayem Ben Umot, we're sitting there in the middle of a world where everybody wants to destroy us, and magically they never manage. How do you explain that? That's the greatest Noraot, and therefore they restore the name. And because of that, they're called Anshei Knesset HaGdela, and therefore we say, Ha'el HaGadol HaGibor V'Nora today. So, I mean, I understand that Yirmiyahu is like a nice Rav. I mean, he's certainly a Rabbanan. Daniel is a nice Rav, but I mean, come on, Rabbanan. How could you go ahead and be Eker Atakana that Moshe Rabbeinu was Metaken? This is such a beautiful Gemara. Omar Rebbe Elazar, look. Bottom line is, they know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real. Amitihu. You just said, MS. What, am I going to lie to him? What, I'm going to be phony? I'm going to say, Ha'el HaGadol HaGibor V'Noran. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed behind my back. I can't do that. That's not Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to be real too. So it took the insight. Is that amazing? So what if Moshe Rabbeinu said it? What, are we going to lie? We're going to lie to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We're going to say how great you are when we don't believe it for a minute? Incredible. Okay. So comes along the Anshei Knesset HaGdela, we're actually able to be aimed on the fact that that is the Gedula. Mitoch sheyodim HaKadosh Baruch Hu shamitihu. Lefichach lo kizvu bo. They couldn't lie to him. They had to say the truth. And then the Kohen Gadol says, he reads Achremos, and then he says Ach Basar, and that means that he's going to jump around from Achremos to Emor. So he's going to have to turn the Sefer Torah a couple of pages in order to get from Achremos to Emor. But I thought you're not allowed to do that. V'ramini, it says in the Mishneh Megillah, Midalgin ben Aviv ve'in Midalgin b'Torah. You can move around, which we do in Haftorah. It's a little maddening sometimes. But you could bring some, you know, some psukim from here, and then you move on. You say psukim from elsewhere, but you're not allowed to do that in the Sefer Torah. So how can you go from Achremos to Emor? No, that's not a problem, because that's referring to how long is the break, you see. Kan b'chdesh yafsika turgaman. The Mishnah in Megillah says that you're not allowed to go from one place to another where it's going to take you longer than the time for the Meturgaman, who's trans, remember, they used to have a Meturgaman, who after you lay into Pasuk, Taimonim still do this today. So he would say the Targum of that pasuk. So that took a minute, right? So if you could move the Sefer Torah quickly to the next place, so then it would not cause a Tircha de Tzibura. Okay, so I can move very rapidly from Acharimos to Emor, it's not a problem. By the time the Targumon finishes reading, we're already in Emor and I can continue reading. What the Mishnah was talking about was only if the Targumon is going to run out. So, Kad Bechpeshi Yavsik with Targumon. In our Mishnah, it's talking about Shalom Yavsik with Targumon. It doesn't take long for me to get from there, and that would not be one problem. No, what are you talking about? And the Mishnah there in Megillah was talking about a case where not Kadesh Yavsik at Targumon, for heaven's sakes. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Read it. Medalgin bin Avi, ve'ein medalgin b'teira. And when you are allowed to be medalig bin Avi, how much can you be medalig? Bichdei shelo yafsik haturgamon. So then that means in the Torah you can't be mafsik at all. Ho b'teira klau klau lo. So how can you tell me, no, the Mishnah was only saying that you can't be medalig if it's going to be mafsik? I'm sorry. It's against what the Mishnah says openly. Omrabayan is still not a problem because there are two elements that need to be taken into consideration in a decision whether to move from place to place. One is the question of how long. The other is the question of confusion, meaning that you're changing the topic. Now, that's two separate things. Lokasha, kan binyan echad. In our Mishnah, we're continuing as if there's nothing, no difference between Acharimos and Emor. Well, they're both talking about the Achba Asar L'Chodesh HaShvi'i. I mean, they're talking about the Dinim of Yom Kippur. Nobody's going to feel confused. Well, what are we talking about in the Goyim in the middle? That's not going to be a problem. So that's okay. But in the Mishnah, it's talking about you can't move from one subject to a different subject, even if there's no time that the people are not going to be hearing the Meturgamon. And in fact, it says this beferish, by the way. I'm not just reading, it's a Braisa. Well, Tanya, on that sugya in Megillah, the Braisa says like this, Midalgin b'Torah b'inyan echad, but b'Navi you can be Midalag even b'shnei inyanim. But in both locations, that you are allowed to be Midalag, whether it's shnei inyanim and Navi, or inyan echad in Torah, the maximal break is only up to b'chtei shelo yafsika b'turgaman, because you can't be medaleg if the people are going to be sitting around doing nothing. The ein medalgim min avi l'navi, one other thing you have to know. You can't go from one book to another book. So even though I allow you to jump from one topic to another topic, but you can't jump from one navi to another navi, that's really going to be confusing. Wait a minute. I thought we were in Shmuel. Why are we talking about Yirmiyahu? Okay, so that you can't do, but if it's one of the Trei Asar, the Navi Shal Shnei Asar, so then you could. You could go from, let's say, Hoshea to Amos. You know, that you can do, because we consider that one Megillah, which includes all Trei Asar, to basically be as if it's the equivalent of one thing, as long as you don't go backwards. Bevad, Shal Yedaleg Misof HaSefer L'Tchilato. One thing you can't do is to go in the wrong direction. You can too. So in other words, if you're going to be going, it has to be in the correct, the flow of the Navi. Okay, this is machlokas, by the way, whether this means that you can't go backwards in terms of the Sifrei Treyaser. It's a reference only to this last piece that, okay, you can skip from one to another, but you can't go in the backward direction, or whether Bechalal, you're not even allowed to go backwards if you're in the same sefer in any of this forum. So this is a machlokas with the Magen Avraham and so on. And fine, it wasn't paskin. Even the Mishnah Berurah leaves it sort of open, brings a different shittas. Okay, gentlemen, sorry for the lengthy daf, but at least it's a lot of fun. It is a very long daf. So. We wish you a Shavua Tov. הנה אל ישוע עשי, אבטח ולאבחד, הושיע שמחה, וברכס נחלסך, וראים ונעשה מעד העולם, ובזוכה this week, to lots of besuras taifas. See you בעזרת השם in the morning. כל טוב.